She considers herself an historical climatologist. Evelyn Browning Garris lives in New Mexico, but she's traveled globally and across this country as well, talking about long-range weather outlook. And she's very, very accurate in her outlook when she starts basing things on hundreds, in some cases thousands of years of weather history. She says that you can see a lot of what's going on right now if you pay attention to volcanic eruptions and the Pacific and the Atlantic water temperatures. We talked with her about all of these issues at the Texoma Cattlemen's Conference in Ardmore on Thursday. Evelyn, let's talk a little bit about you help write the Browning Report and
Browning Newsletter.
And you were talking a great deal about your work as a historical climatologist.
Yes.
What does why should we study history, first of all, when it comes to the weather?
Okay. What we have is a brilliant amount of long-term records showing what the weather was like. We have over 100,000 years of year-to-year weather records for the Northern Hemisphere. And what we can do is we can find the last 5 years that have had the same factor shaping the weather as we have now. And I can look at those years and tell my clients, look, 80% of the time when we had these factors shaping the weather, this is what happened. It's making an informed decision. It's not random. The weather tends to follow patterns. And we've been doing this for 30 years, and according to our clients, giving our clients this type of information, we have been correct 70% of the time. So this gives my clients the edge on because they have perspective.
When we start talking about this tremendous debate of climate change, global warming, man-made global warming, you seem to really weigh in on both sides. You said that in the cities, the urban areas, we do have a lot of heating going on, but out in the country, maybe not so much.
Exactly. The average city is about 7 to 10 degrees hotter than the surrounding countryside. Anybody in the city who travels from the country to the city feels the heat. And of course they believe in man-made warming because they're going to the center of man-made warming. So you tend to find a lot of the country people looking at the more natural changes because their climate change has not been as dramatic, as drastic. But you go into a city with the black paved streets. I'm sorry, I've worked in Houston. Anybody in Houston trying to cross in summertime, some of their black paved streets has stuck to the asphalt. We started designing how to build our cities over 100 years ago during the Little Ice Age. So we designed them to hold the heat, and they're really good at holding heat.
When we think about, this whole argument as far as impacting weather, do the things that humans do, how much impact does that really have on some of these longer-term trends that you're looking at then?
Well, what I've discovered is that we right now are being hit by a double whammy. We are in a natural period of warming. We used to be in the Little Ice Age until the 1800s, and we've been coming out of a Little Ice Age. So we're going through natural warming. And then what man does makes a lot of things more extreme, and it makes the heat more extreme in specific areas. So, no wonder our intellectuals in these cities really believe in global warming. But there's other factors that we have records. They've been changing weather for thousands of years, and we have not necessarily seen them stop in their course. So there's natural climate, and then man is just an extra layer.
You talked about two or three factors. You talked about volcanic activity as well as the ocean temperatures. Talk about each of those for me.
Well, if you have a large volcano, it is the wild card in weather. What happens is if you have a large enough volcano, it can block out incoming sunlight. We had, for example, in 1991, a volcano go off in the Philippines that put debris 15 to 25 miles high in the atmosphere. And that debris spread from the North Pole to 20 degrees south. It formed clouds as big as Montana, 10 miles thick. And it blocked out enough incoming sunlight to cool the globe one half of 1 degree. Now, that doesn't sound like much, But I had a client in Canada complain because he had a foot of snow in his grain field on the third week of August. So a volcano can make a huge difference. We, in 2011, had two volcanoes go off, and they changed the air pressure to the point that the Arctic got very cold, and its winds were very strong, and it trapped all the cold air north. And that's why last winter, we were warm. All the cold air was trapped north. This year, that air is coming south. And we've been fairly lucky, but there's some places in China and Russia which, well, Moscow has had more snow than they've ever had in their records. And boy, what the Russians keep long records on is their snow.
So, you know, when we start thinking about those type of implications, that kind of helps explain some of the extreme temperatures of 2012.
Exactly. Exactly. What happened is we had cold air trapped north, and it didn't cool off, and we didn't have the rainfall we normally would have. And without the storms, the ocean remained fairly still, and they gathered heat. And by last year in May, we had Atlantic temperatures at the, they were as hot as they normally are in July. And think of North America being boiled in hot water, because that's what was happening to us.
You also talked a great deal about ocean temperatures, both Pacific and Atlantic, and they each have a role to play.
Yes. In general, we get westerly winds that bring our wintertime moisture. And currently, the Pacific has turned fairly cool. Now, if you have a cold Pacific, it cools the air above it, and cold air doesn't hold much water. So we haven't gotten enough snow to feed the soil and get rid of all the drought that we had for the last 2 years. And so one of the things we're dealing with is a cooler Pacific than we're used to. We also are dealing with an Atlantic that's extraordinarily hot. The Atlantic is controlled by the Gulf Stream. And when the Gulf Stream carries tropical water north, and right now it's super hot. I talk to a lot of fishing fleets, and they're telling me how extraordinary the Gulf Stream is. Well, it's not just flowing fast, but it's carrying a lot of tropical water north. Now, what happens is sometimes when you get that cold Pacific air and it hits that hot Atlantic air, you get a lot of spectacular storms and super thunderstorms and tornadoes. So that's what's going on now. We have a cold Pacific that hasn't given us much moisture from the west, and we have a hot Atlantic that's going to be giving us a lot of heat this summer from the south and from the east.
So you were saying, for example, that does suggest maybe a few more hurricanes and substantial hurricanes coming off of that warmer Atlantic air, water.
One of the things that happens when you have a hotter Atlantic, studies have shown that you have almost double the number of hurricanes, and the hurricanes move further north. Now, there is a long-term trend. We went through about 30 years of having a cool Atlantic, and places like New York City started thinking they really couldn't be hit. Well, if they'd looked back the last time the Atlantic was hot in the 1950s, they were slammed twice. And so they had three different reports warning them that they were going to be hit, and they ignored it. We now have a hotter Atlantic. It looks like it's going to stay hotter for another 20 years. And this is going to be bringing more tropical storms. On the other hand, for people who are looking for tropical moisture, and I have some Texas clients so desperate they're rooting for a hurricane, this means this year you may be getting that hurricane moisture that you want. Certainly last year, when we had the August hurricane that brought the moisture to the Midwest, it saved our soybean crop.
Right. You know, bringing this back around to the middle part of the country, the Southern Great Plains, Great Plains, what do you see, in other words, what are you seeing over the next decade or so then, based on this Pacific and Atlantic water?
What I'm seeing are a lot of the conditions that we had back in the 1950s. we had a cooler Pacific and a hotter Atlantic. That meant we had less wintertime moisture and more hot evaporation in the summer. On the other hand, Oklahoma and Texas in the 1950s had some good old boys running the Senate, and they built some reservoirs in all the right places. In the 30 years in between, we have let those reservoirs fill. But Oklahoma and Texas farmers were pretty canny. They knew how to farm with dry conditions. They filled up the reservoirs on the wet years, and when an El Nino comes, and it comes about once every 4 years, they really stocked up, and then they used their water wisely, and they help feed the world. So a lot of places in the world are going to have changing weather conditions, but thanks to our heritage here in the Southern Plains, we have reservoirs in the right place if we just get the silt out and start storing them and start treating water as a precious resource. Because, let's face it, in the 50s, the U.S. fed the world.
Right. And so, you know, that these heat waves and dry summers are going to be more of the norm than maybe, what, the 70s and 80s then, right?
People in the 70s and 80s were living in the most gentle, benign weather in over a century, and they thought it was normal. And welcome to the new normal.
Welcome to the new normal indeed. Evelyn Browning Garris talking with us at the Texoma Cattlemen's Conference in Ardmore. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.